Blog Talk Radio.
Let's Talk Truth is designed to shine a light on that part of us that's hidden deep within us, and it stunts our growth. Truth is only truth if it lines up with the Word of God. Otherwise, it's merely our opinion, our opinion, our opinion.
If you really wanna talk, then let's talk truth. Hey. Any situation that you face can be talked through. No problem too big, there's no problem too small at all. Trying to maintain to keep from smashing through a wall. Heavy load up on your shoulders, trying hard not to fall. Situation after situation, throwing curveballs. Got you worried about your job, a word about your kids, a word about the things people said or what they did. Your husband ain't doing right, or maybe it's your wife, 'cause they let the devil step in and creep up in your life. L-O-I-C-E, come and help us out, please, 'cause we all in desperate need and need to learn to plant our seeds. We gotta grow as a people, 'cause wisdom and knowledge is equal, and all we need to learn to do is spread our wings like eagles. Now, let's talk truth, let's talk truth, let's talk truth. Lord, sit down to talk truth, but the rest is on you.
Let's talk truth, let's talk truth. Janine, let's talk truth. Hey, let's talk truth, let's talk truth. Straight from me to you. Hey, no need to worry, there's a brighter day. Just live your life no matter what they say. Let's talk truth so you can understand. Why knowledge is power and it's on the man.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Let's Talk Truth. For tonight, we will be exploring who's killing our children. Well, tonight, as you know, we have our usual host and best-selling author of From the Wells of My Heart Springs Oceans of Inspiration, who also has a collaboratory poem book who inspires us to analyze ourselves in order to make it a better world for everyone. Tonight we'll also be joined by another lovely person, Catherine DeWitt, who is from North Carolina. I believe she's on the line right now. But before we begin, I would like to turn it into the hands of our host, and let us welcome Lois Bullock.
Well, greetings, everyone, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My name is Lois Bullock, and I'm your host tonight on Let's Talk Truth. And as I say at the beginning of every one of our shows, I am not here to preach to you, but I will say that if you are trying to arrive at truth, it can only come through the Word of God. And that's just how it is, and we can't change that. We need to promote this everywhere we go. The Word of God brings about a solution for our truth and our path. I want to welcome my co-host tonight, which is Kay DeWitt. She's a young woman that I've met, and it seems as though we've known each other forever and ever. She's an advocate for justice for our children, for our youth, and she's an ongoing trumpeter for the West Mac High School in Charlotte, North Carolina. And she has done just a plethora of things to assist our young people. So she's on the line tonight, and I'm going to, and also there's a caller on the line. Your last four numbers of your phone is 2581. I don't know what your name is, but please feel free to introduce yourself and let us know who you are. If you want to just jump in, I promise you, you're very welcome. We're going to talk about who's killing our kids. And before I turn it over to my co-host, I want to say this. We talk about, I always think about how we do scholarships and raise money for our kids that's graduating high school. We want them to go to college. But I don't know if anyone ever stops to think about the young men and women who don't make it to high school. And there's a reason they don't make it to high school. So tonight we're going to examine how our young people are being neglected, and their minds are being neglected. And if you don't have a mind that's being fed good food, you either end up dead or incarcerated. Amen. So with that said, we are going to, I'm going to turn you now to the hands of Kay DeWitt, and I want her to just come and, you know, introduce herself and let us know that she's on board here tonight. Hi, Kay.
Hi, Lois. Hi. You know that last statement that you said, the children are going to wind up either dead or incarcerated. And, of course, that is my cry to our kids. Now, all our kids are in trouble. But my particular burden at this point in time is for gang kids. These past 2 years, I have reached out to an inner city high school, predominantly a black school, and a lot of these kids belong to gangs, and the environment that is created for them answers none of their needs. They are written off as kids who are not going to achieve. And so I've always had a heart for gang kids. My hero of all times was the late David Wilkerson. Now, I am 74 years of age, so I don't know how many of our listeners know who David Wilkerson is. But in the 60s, there was a movie in the theaters, Cross and the Switchblade. And it's an absolutely true story of how Christ's love through one man won over the most vicious, murderous gang leaders New York City had ever seen. And while these kids knew nothing really of Christ's love, they knew one thing, that David loved them, because those kids knew that David knew any one of them could kill them. And the most vicious, murderous one, who was written off as absolutely hopeless, it was a young man by the name of Nicky Cruz. And so once Nicky came to Jesus Christ through David Wilkinson's love, he's written a book, Run, Baby, Run. And it's the story of how he was given up as hopeless, how he was into everything you can imagine. I mean, this man thirsted for blood. And I have said ever since reading that book, if God can reach a Nicky Cruz, he can reach anyone. Now, years ago, I had an outreach ministry called Love Reaching. And at that time, our kids were mainly suicidal. Now, they're not only suicidal, but they're killing one another. And back then, you know, I was, in my 30s, 40s, and I had kind of a cool appearance. I've always had kind of a flamboyant appearance. But I didn't know at 74 years of age, and I walk with a walker, whether or not that would be a stumbling block to these kids. But guess what? Not only does Christ's love not have any color, it has no age. So what I did is I sat in the cafeteria. And by the way, there are over 1,000 kids at this school. And I have to tell you, they are dropping like flies. Mm-hmm. I was appalled last summer when a teacher said to me, "We have accepted the fact that we're going to lose 3 kids a year," of course, in death. Well, they reached that goal last year before the end of the school. I'm sorry, that's 3 kids too many. And
too
so
many.
I sat in that cafeteria to just see, our kids different today? Because now, and as a Christian, I want to qualify this. Yes, God has given me a gift with kids, but I just want to clarify that true humility is not recognizing the fact that God has gifted you. It is never feeling better than anyone because he has. And I can honestly say I feel better than no human being and would feel privileged to wash the feet of the one that society deems to be the lowest of the low. So I discovered I had a gift with kids. Maybe it's just because I understand them, and within seconds I can say, "I love you." You know, that's where it's at for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so years ago, many, many, many kids said had I not cared, they would be dead. So it became
exactly
like a calling on my life that to the day I die, to the day I die, I have to start reaching out to our kids because it's a life-death distance. Now, I would like to tell you the story of of three kids, if I may, because I believe I will be telling this story. And I want these kids to know that I was on the radio talking about them. Can I do that, Lois? Can I tell you about three kids? Okay.
You sure can. Let me
for anybody out there who is, you know, who is doubtful whether or not our kids can be reached, okay? And our kids are cynical. Our kids no longer dream dreams because they're surrounded and bombarded by all the horror that goes on in this world. And what they don't realize, they're being dehumanized by this modern technology. Okay, so now these kids I'm telling you about don't care whether they live or die, they're gang kids. So I'm going to tell you about this one kid. He was standing up against the wall, and his T-shirt read, "Sex, Drugs, Rap." And I took my finger and I said, "Come here," which is kind of humorous. Teachers are afraid of these kids. This old lady says, "Come here." So he walked over. I said, "What's your name?" He said, "Jay." I said, "What's the meaning of your T-shirt?" He said, "It's who I am." I said, "No, darling, it's not who you are. It's what you choose to do." He said, "It's all I know. I'm from New Jersey. I was in a gang in New Jersey, and I'm in a gang here." And he said something, because I remember he said, "You mean to tell me if I don't see you in a couple of days, you might be dead, or you can kill another kid?" And he just said, "Oh, well, I've seen a lot of my buddies die." And then he said, mm-hmm. "I have a very cold heart." Now, I hand out poems that I wrote, and it's a Michael Jackson poem. This is the one kid that would not take the folder. He said, "I'm fine." But he did say, "I need help, but I'm in too deep." And with that, he pulled up his shirt sleeve, and I didn't understand, you know, what the tattoo meant. And before he left that cafeteria, now mind you, he said, "I've got a very cold heart."
Yes.
I looked him in the eye, and I said, "I bet you couldn't understand why a little old lady could say, 'I love you, Jay.'" And his eyes widened. He said, "No, I couldn't." He walked out of that cafeteria. I grabbed our dean of students, Mr. Potts. Mr. Potts, there's a kid. His name is Jay. He can't promise me he won't kill another kid, and he might wind up dead. If that kid, he did walk back in that toward me, it was like he was drawn by those words, "I love you." But you see, that's the supernatural power of Christ's love. From that day forward, every time that child walked into that cafeteria, he threw his arms around me. This is a kid who said he had a very cold heart. Now, to tell you how serious this is, and in answer to your question, who is killing our kids, it is Satan himself. Then, of course, lack of, you know, of love.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me the name of his... He is a rat. I'm sorry. Lois, did you say something? There's an echo in my phone.
Let me interject right here.
Sure.
You're saying everything that's so powerful, but it begins at birth. It begins at birth. Everyone is not dealt a good hand.
That's right.
You know, we have mothers who are bringing children into this world who don't have a clue how to be a mother.
Amen.
They don't know how to allow God to let those motherly instincts just come alive in them, because they don't know that they're there. Now, is somebody out there that God has assigned to these families? You know, he says, the Bible says, "I'm not going to leave you ignorant."
Yes.
We're not going to, these children aren't just born and left to their own devices.
Yes.
There's somebody out there, we holler mentor, and we look at all of our mentors. You got to be a rich person with money, play basketball or football, but you don't have to be. You can be just like you and I. Of course, you're brave to say you're an old lady. I still say I'm a young lady. And my oldest daughter is 42 years old. But I tell everybody I'm 25. Now, with that said, we have been assigned these duties. This is our purpose. This is why we were born, to do these things, to help these children.
Amen.
And that, you have to look. There's a song that says, he looks beyond my faults and saw my needs.
That's the song I sing. I'm sorry.
We've got to look beyond that child that says, I'm cold-hearted. You've got to look beyond that, because he's not cold-hearted.
Amen.
And when he's saying that, he's crying out for help. I need
Amen.
Somebody to love me.
That's right.
And we write them off. We write these kids
That's
off.
That's right, Lois.
You know, I think about how long it took me to acknowledge God. But we don't want to extend that same mercy to our children.
Amen.
We don't, you know, we have to extend mercy out there. And I was at the a little store here in Dallas today, and a young man walked up to me, and I didn't have money. I think I had a dollar and a quarter in my hand. And he said, ma'am, can I wash your windows and if for just a little change? I looked him directly in the eye, and I'm going to tell you what we as so righteous, we look at him, oh, I wonder if he on drugs. Oh, I wonder if he on this. That's not my job. God says ask, and we're supposed to give.
Yes.
Let God sort the rest of it out. But I looked at him, and I felt such a love pouring out of him. He said, I don't want to be out here begging. He said, but I lost my job. And I asked him, I said, where do you live? He said, I live in my car. I said, and then I'm going to pray and ask God to send somebody that can give you more than a dollar and a quarter. I'm going to ask God to send somebody to you with a job and do all this. So when he walked away from me, he said, you know, I keep my head up because God is all that I have.
Mm.
When he walked away from me, I sat in my car and I cried because I said, God, I need to be in the position to meet the needs of your people.
Amen.
You know, I need to be in position. But Satan don't want us to be in position. He will give people money that's going to do like the rich man, just, you know, watch the poor man just lie there on the steps and not give anything.
Yes.
But this is what's happening to our children. We need to, number one, choose the right profession. A lot of these teachers are crippling our children.
Amen.
I know for a fact, because I have had a number of kids in my home that I've raised to be grown-ups. And I have gone toe-to-toe with teachers at school because they're going to make you feel inferior. No, you won't.
Yes.
You don't know the story. And you don't know his story, and just because you don't have the love for mankind, you're here to make a dollar. That's all you're here for.
Amen, Lloyd.
If you are connected with kids just to make some money, you need to go do something else.
Amen.
Or, matter of fact, if you, to interact with people, period, you need to go do something else. You have got to. There was and I'm going to give this back because I want to talk about those three young boys. But there was a lady, she and her husband pastor church. They had a private school. 1 week before graduation, they expelled a girl who was going to be graduating because she said a curse word.
Oh, I don't believe this.
Oh, and I said, oh, ma'am, I said, you are so out of line. I said, you will ruin this child's future.
Oh.
I said, I know you've heard a curse word before. You said some of them yourself. I said, but a teacher's job is not to count the curse words, but build a vocabulary in a child so that
Amen.
They can make room for new words. And so I have a problem with that. I have a problem with us setting our children up for failure. I don't know about in North Carolina, but here in Texas, we have these test that a kid has to take before they graduate high school. And a lot of these kids aren't walking across the stage because they didn't pass a test. Why should a child go to school 12 years and not be awarded that to walk across in that cap and gown? You are devastating those children. And when you stop them from graduating, they are not going to go graduate somewhere down the line 2 or 3 years. They end up dropping out. And I wonder what our leaders in the state of Texas start to look at that and do away with those during tests. I was a straight-A student, but I couldn't take tests. I didn't, you know, it's just something some people can't take tests. So if I can pass a test at every 6 weeks, why should you give me one to determine whether I'm going to get out of school? So this is crippling our children. And
Amen.
we don't make our children feel like they're worth anything. Make them feel valued. You know, if you've got there's a little boy that goes to school. He's 2 years old. And the teacher said, oh, he's busy. He's busy. He doesn't sit down. You know why he doesn't sit down? Number one, he's a leader and you're boring. Mm. You need to do something to capture his attention.
Oh.
That's what teaching is.
Amen.
That's what training is. It's about capturing the attention, going where that child is and helping him go from there, not mold him. What 2-year-old can sit down and just not move? You know, like I say, I'm 25, and you can't sit me down and I don't move. So now that I've said all that, I want to give you the floor from now on, Kay, and from this point on, and I just want you to share with us about those three young people you were talking about. And hopefully we can open our eyes to the help that
And for whoever who's listening, if you hear, I mean, you've heard my response, it's because Lois is re-echoing what I'm about to share with you. Okay, so now I get on Jay's website because he tells me he's a rapper and he wants me to listen to his rap song. Well, under a rap song entitled True Religion, listen to these words. He sings, I walk with the devil. I am so damned evil, you will never get to the root of me. I am coming for blood. I will murder if I have to get to the top. This is serious stuff, okay? Now, a month after my first contact with Jay, Mr. Potts said, you know, I gave that kid Jay a ride home. And he said, how much? He loved Miss K, and he'd make sure no one ever hurt Miss K. This is a kid with a cold heart, okay?
Yeah.
Now, he's transferred over to the school next door to put him on the computer because he was due to graduate. So I went over, and I sat in the hall, and I waited for him day after day after day. Finally, he showed. He sits next to me, gets on the computer. He says, why don't they give us something we can relate to? He had to read about Shakespeare. However, because this child knew now that I really loved him, I said, Jay, would you read a book for me? He said, okay. I said, it's called Run, Baby, Run. I'm going to give it to you right now. I handed him the book. He walked me down to the car. He said, Miss Kay, I'm going to miss you. And I said, well, sweetheart, if I get this home that I'm dreaming about for you kids, I can see you all the time. He said, Miss Kay, if I had $1 million, I'd give it to you, so you could give us kids a home. Right before school closed, the day before school closed, he said, Miss Kay, I finished reading that book and I really liked it. And then he said, so Nikki switched. And what he meant, so Nikki switched was walking with Satan to walking with Jesus. And I said, yes, darling, and you can too. Summer came, he was thrown back in his neighborhood, and he wound up in jail. Of course, this breaks my heart, needless to say.
Yes.
And of course, none of the teachers knew. Where's Jay? They don't keep. So I did not go over to Hawk Academy because they never told me that he was back there. I had to stay at West Mech with this other kid that I will tell you about. And one day, Jake comes up behind me, throws his arms around me, didn't even recognize him because he cut his hair. He said, "Miss Kay, I'm straight now." Of course, I didn't know really what that meant. He was with the principal at Hawk Academy, so I didn't want to question him. So I made a beeline for Hawk Academy the following day just to see what Jay meant. Before Jay came in, the teachers were talking about what a change in Jay. He was there every day, and he was going to graduate. And when I saw Jay, he said, "Miss Kay, I'm a Christian now." A book. This kid with a cold heart. My love and a book. He didn't read my poems and a book, but here's the whammy. His mother was moving to South Carolina. His story was that his mother kept moving and moving, and he'd had it. So then he announced to me that he was going back to New Jersey. Now, he's a baby Christian. It was in New Jersey where he got involved in the gangs. He was going back to New Jersey because that's where his relatives were. And I was heartbroken that not one church had a place where I could say, "Jay, come here, stay here." I find that absolutely scandalous. So Jay is out there. I don't know where. I've wanted to contact him so I could tell him something positive. I told him, "I'm going to tell your story." So thank God for this radio show, because I can't wait to call him and say, "Now, Jay, you know, I'm telling your story. You're becoming a superstar. I want to be able to say, Jay, I have a home for you." Child number two, and I have to keep my eye on the clock. This kid, Mingo. Well, Mingo was seen as about the worst of the worst. And let me clarify, there's no such thing as a bad kid. Kids do bad things. It's called sin. We all do that. Only two categories of people: sinners saved by grace, sinners in need to be saved by grace. So I saw this kid as a challenge. So when Mingo was sitting at the next table, I said, "Come here." So this, you know, kid came over, and I looked at him, and I said, "How would you like to make an easy $20? And his eyes widened. I said, "I'll give you $20 if you read this book." And you know, he has a kind of a cameo beauty in his face. All I said is, "Did anyone ever tell you you've got a cameo beauty in your face?" Next day, I arrived with the teacher who was driving me to school. He comes running to the car, very friendly. And I don't know. 1 week later, he says, "Miss Kay, I've read about 3 chapters of the book. I think I want to be the kind of hero Nikki Cruz was." Now, my love, here's another kid that every time he walked into the cafeteria, threw his arms around me. That kid never, ever said a rude word, let alone a swear word. Okay? My love, and it's Christ's love. I take no credit for it. Anybody can be a vessel of Christ's love. A poem I wrote to the kids, a letter I wrote in that book, made him write me an email, "Miss Kay, you're a very wise woman. I'm following your wise words. And I'm becoming a success day by day." He said, "I'm going to be graduating, and I want you to sit with my family. I love you. You know, thank you for caring about me." All right. He was excited about graduating.
Uh-huh.
And the next thing I know, he didn't graduate. I'll never forget the day when I was over at Hawk Academy. He said to one of the teachers, "Why don't you say something positive about us?" Come summer, also wound up, because he too was thrown back in his neighborhood. I asked him what happened to Mingo. I finally wrote him a letter. "Mingo, I love you unconditionally. Please let me know you're still alive." He said, and I said, "Yes, Miss Kay, I went to jail, but I'm turning my life around." He went back to Hawk Academy, and because this is how our stories align, he wanted to graduate, because he said "F you" to a teacher who was unkind to him, he was thrown out, and now he's out there, all right? Here's a kid, and same story. Had anyone been kind to that child, he would have graduated, okay?
Yes.
And then the third one, let's see, I look at my clock, is a kid, Felix. He also told Felix, you're going to be a superstar. I was walking into school one day, and I said to a teacher who saw that, you know, I had a rapport with these kids. One day he said, when he saw the kids throwing their arms, I could cry. Nevertheless, when I was walking in one day, he said, so how's your day? He said, oh, terrible. There's this kid. He won't talk to me. In fact, he ran away from me. And I said, I want to talk to that kid. He said, don't waste your time. Oh, if I heard that. That kid won't give you a minute. I said, I don't care. I want to talk to that kid. I walk into the cafeteria. Now, here's a ninth grader who's already been in jail. Ninth grader on house arrest. And the teachers are talking about how they're afraid of this kid. And they said, he's falling down this dark, dark hole. We need to do something to help him. I went to those teachers. I said, I want to talk to that child. So when he comes in here, you point him out. And they did. That kid not only spent 1 minute with me, he spent 45. And from that day forward, same, they're hungry for love. That's it. I have no gifts, no talents. I just can say, anybody who can verbalize the words, I love you, and mean it, that's all it takes. He also started reading Run, Baby, Run, wanted to walk toward the light. I was put in the hospital for I had a weird episode with pseudo gout. I begged them not to suspend this child, that I would be back. And when I was gone, they suspended him. He wound up getting in trouble. Then they shipped him over to the alternative school, which is another story. And I'm going to be telling that story. There's a crime being committed against our kids at that alternative school. He was sent to the alternative school. I eventually followed him there. When I was with him, he was fine. Again, the day that I wasn't there, they threw him out, even though I begged them again, do not throw this child out. Because when you do, he hangs out in a neighborhood where he could be shot. You think they cared?
Right.
When I was gone, they saw how this child responded to me, and they even said, this kid has been so much better since you've been there. I'm out. One day, they throw him out. He winds up. He was thrown out on a Tuesday. An hour or so after, the administrative person said, you know, Felix is so much better since you've been here. Threw him out on a Tuesday, and on Friday, he wound up in jail again. Why? Because he, too, was thrown back into the hood. Now, this is my cry. These kids need a home away from home. They are reachable. They are reachable. And it is my dream to have a school and say to these kids, what will it take to make you want to come to school? I don't care whether you graduate at this point. I want you to have a place where you want to be. You want to be, see, now Felix wants to be a cook. There was the touch point. Encourage him to cook. Give them something they can throw themselves into, and then they will be motivated to graduate because then they can see how it's a means to an end. That's my dream. And I serve a miracle-working God, and Lois, we know if God's in, it's going to happen. To have this school and get, and I said, give me all these kids. Give me all these throwaway kids. I want to adopt every one of them. I don't care if one of them kills me. That's how I feel.
Exactly.
I'm willing to lay my life down for these kids, and they don't understand it, but they're hungry for it. And what you said, when I was over to Hawk Academy, and these kids were just written off. There was a security guard said, I can't wait to get away from here. These kids are so rude to me. I mean, I was where they were, and I don't act the way they were. Well, wonderful, you know. These kids never said a rude word to me. So one day I said, I want all those kids in the cafeteria, and I want to talk to them. Good old Mr. Glenn said again, those kids won't give you 5 minutes. I said, I don't care, I want them. And after 25 minutes, you could hear a pin drop. You know why? Because I held up a picture of a precious kid who had been shot a year ago, Christmas Eve. Somebody took the picture of him lying in a pool of blood at the mall. And I hold that picture up, and I say, you want to wind up like this? Keep fighting. And guaranteed, you're going to wind up dead or in jail. You may not care about that, but I care about that because your lives are worth something. There it is, Lloyd.
That's right.
They're hungry to hear that. And the other day I read the story of a little boy in the Chicago area. You know, the kids are dying by the thousands there. This kid was shot in the hip by another. He belonged to a gang, another gang member. He went into the hospital, And all he wanted to do was get revenge. Revenge, revenge, revenge. He was being dismissed from the hospital. The brother of the other kid who was wounded with, you know, a fellow gang member, walked into his hospital room. He's also a basketball coach. And this kid said, I'm going to get them kids. And all it took for this basketball coach to say, don't do that. Your life is worth more than you think it is. And then the article states, he'd never heard anyone say that to him. Can you imagine if that is not tragic? And that's all it took for that kid to decide not to get revenge. The world's got to hear this, that these kids are very reachable and they're worth saving because God doesn't make junk. And I tell them, yeah, things that I guess society deemed worthy of applause. And the most meaningful part of that, when I played to crowds in the hundreds, got a standing ovation to find out the meaningless of man's applause. It means zero. And then I make them look at the super. See, most kids want to kill themselves or one another because they've been rejected or bullied. In other words, they don't get the applause of the peers. I say, look at those who got the applause of the world. I don't care whether you're talking about Michael Jackson, who was called king before him, Elvis Presley called king, Whitney Houston called king, all right? Robin Williams, if you please, beloved by millions, and yet that wasn't enough to stop them from killing themselves. See, kids don't put that together. They're intelligent, but they just don't put that together. So I say, you want to kill yourself, another kid, because you don't, and I clap my hand, you don't get that from your peers? Look at those who got it from the world, and that's not the answer to happiness. See, then they're open to say, well, then what is the answer to happiness? And then I explain that God made man to live life on a tri-dimensional level and why there are obvious needs within the body and the soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions. Yes, we need human affirmation. He also made us with a spirit that can only be filled with the things of God. The kids,
right.
I sat in the class and my kid gave his heart to the Lord just by overhearing me say that. Don't tell me our kids can't be reached. And so, Lloyd, we are two voices united.
We've got to stop sharing with them that prosperity is money.
Yes.
Prosperity is not money.
Amen.
If you have love in your heart and you give love, you're going to get love back.
Amen. Love gets love. That's
gonna
it.
It's going to come back when you need it.
That's
where
right.
You need it, and it's going to meet every need. Love meets need, not money.
That's right, Lloyd.
God has a thing that's called favor, and you can get things that you don't have a dime for, but God will bless you with it.
Amen.
And we can reach our children. We just don't want to give up self. I don't want to
give
up myself. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. I don't want to be responsible for anything.
Amen, Lois.
We were put here with a purpose. You weren't put here to just sit and look pretty and drive your new car and live in your big house. You were put here to bless somebody.
That's right, Lois.
The love in your heart has to pour out on somebody else's. Then eventually somebody's love is going to pour out on you.
That's absolutely right. Lloyd, absolutely right. And it's about time, and I know as a pastor you agree with me, that the Christians stop running from Bible study to fill their own needs. You know, my Lord and my Bible says that the Holy Spirit will teach us truth. Get out of those pews and start being Jesus with skin on to our dying world, especially our dying kids. There are two churches directly across the street from the high school. One is a 1,000-plus black church. I was a member of that. I attended the church. And then the next door is a white church, also attended. That's where I started. And not one of those people walked across that street to reach out to those kids.
No, and not one. And you got two churches right there, black and white. We're going to be separate. you know, not was can we say, well, let's come together and we can gain more territory. No.
They tried that. They tried that one, you know, they did try that, but it didn't go anywhere.
No, because you've got somebody who wants to, it's too many chiefs and not enough Indians.
Yeah.
And somebody will hear me say that and they'll say, well, I'm offended by what you say. Well, I'm sorry. What
Amen.
I mean by that is I'm in a leadership position and I don't want to follow anybody. I want everybody to follow me. Even though I may not be in the position to follow, I still want you to follow me.
That's right. They're egos. That's right. What they don't understand is the difference between a servant who leads and a leader who serves. We are called to have a servant heart.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's somebody called me today and asked me, well, what are you doing to help the hurricane victims in Houston? I said, I'm doing what I can. I'm praying for the people that's got the money to turn it loose.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have money, but I can pray. You know, the Bible said he sent his word and it healed him. You know, you don't have to be in an area to bless somebody.
Yes.
You can pray for somebody. And this is what we've got to start doing for our children and paying attention. Our children, and it's what we're exposing them to. I look at little kids, babies with pull-ups on, hands sagging.
Yes.
I saw a little boy. I asked him how old he was in the store. Earrings in his ear. You know, you're bringing him up here. This baby's still wearing diapers. But, you know, he's a little boy. You got earrings in his ear. You're trying to make him be,
isn't
you know, something. And I told a young man, he was in the store, his pants were sagging, his little boy was in the basket. I asked him, I said, sir, is this your baby? Oh, yeah, that's my son. That's my son. I said, well, he's a handsome little booger. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, do you know everything you do, he's going to do? I said, he's going to watch you. And he said, yeah, I know. I said, so that means your pants is, I said, is that your waistline down there or your thigh is? Oh, no, ma'am, no, ma'am. I said, well, pull your pants up, brother. Walk in front of your son so he'll wear his pants in the right place. And, you know, it's just we've got to start paying attention. Now, what do you think is going to happen when we expose our children to another thing I'm sick of hearing, baby daddy? My baby daddy, your baby daddy sells drugs. Does this, but he needs to know he's daddy. No, he needs to know God. God
Amen.
Can be his daddy until God puts something in your life. And this, our young women with these babies, they need to be taught so that these children won't grow up and drop through the cracks. Because that's why they're dropping through the cracks. That's what's killing our kids. Is the guardians, the guardians are killing our kids.
Yes, boys. Yes, they have.
We're offering them.
But you know what? If they know you can, now these are kids, they won't be disciplined. But if you know how to talk to them, and this is, you know, I tell these kids, I love, first of all, I ask them, what's love? None of them, of course, can answer that question. And I know that. So then I have them. And I said, I'll tell you what it is. There's only one real love, and that's Christ's love. Because it's the only love that is unconditional. Human love really isn't love because it's conditional. It's conditional. Human love doesn't love one another. You use one another. I mean, you feel good because somebody fills your needs. But guess what? When that person stops filling your needs, they no longer love you. So they're not loving for you for who you are, but what you give them. Where Christ's love is after you can, you know, like with Jesus, spit in his face, you can do anything, and that love never diminishes.
Never.
And of course, this is foreign to them. I said, therefore, now, love by definition is a desire for the loved one's ultimate best, always. And then I'll say, do you understand that much? Uh-huh. Okay. So, therefore, if I hear you are doing drugs, I'm going to tell you that. Because my love because drugs will hurt you. My love for you isn't going to diminish, but because I want your ultimate best, do you understand that? And now when it comes to sagging, you know, I'm going to tell you about that because I feel you're cheating yourself. Not because you offend me, you know, that little. They understand that. And that was in my poem. And, well, Mingo said, well, Miss Gay, from now on I'm not going to sag, and a lot of the kids said that. These kids are they say these kids can't be reached, and I write them a poem, and they pull up their pants. However, when one of the teachers said to Mingo, pull up your pants, he said, F you. You know why? Because he felt that teacher's contempt.
Yes. I want to share something briefly with you, talking about our youth and how we need to expose them. I have an outreach ministry fighting to prevent youth decay. And I wrote this about confused young people who don't know who they are. And it says, Webster defines youth as the time between childhood and maturity. Webster further defines decay as the decline from a state of normality, excellence, or prosperity, or to deteriorate. Society will ask you to define normal, excellence, prosperity. When this happens, kindly direct them to the Holy Bible, the book of Genesis, to the book of Revelations, and let them determine the definition for themselves. What they will find is it has nothing to do with the tall tee baggy jeans that hang so low the world can either look at your undies or almost undies or your bare bottom.
Yes.
Young man, your hands were made to hold wealth, not the front of your britches. Young girl, the crack of your private world should only be viewed by you or the man God gave you to be your husband.
Yes.
Your belt buckle is gaudy and shiny, but it has no impact on your financial prosperity. There's a long-term financial prosperity and a short-term financial prosperity. Our youth need to know the difference. Society has blinded our youth to believe that short-term financial prosperity is the way to go. When it is over, Satan is waiting with open arms to call you a failure, a disappointment, which will send you spiraling toward illegal activity and your next stop is jail or physical death. The mind of our youth diminishes the true light that God lovingly and boldly placed in each of us.
Yes.
With the mind of our youth, we are unable to see the beauty of God's creation in our faces. As long as we are youthful-minded, the strength of our character that God fashioned within the heart of each of us will remain hidden. As long as we are hidden from ourselves, we are lost to the real meaning of who we are.
Amen.
If you don't believe it, take a step back and tell yourself who you are. Well, today, I'm a person with long hair, as opposed to yesterday when it was short. My hair is two different colors today as opposed to yesterday when it was another color. The eyes that are staring back at me are not the same eyes that stared back at me on yesterday, but today I am more myself because I'm looking at myself through different eyes today. My lips are not as thin today as they were on yesterday, which causes my speech to slur. But once I get accustomed to the fullness of my lips, my speech will be okay. As I continue to look at myself, my bra size has increased compared to the six-pack that I admired on yesterday. The clothes are different as well. The long-sleeve, skin-tight sweater has now turned into an oversized blouse. No, it is an oversized shirt that completely hides my figure. My bottom is belted. No, it is not belted. My waist is no longer my waist. My waist is now my waist, W-A-S-T-E, as it no longer serves its purpose. My pants are short, my skirt is short. My pants are long, my skirt is long. Do I choose heels or nothing? A woman's shoe, a man's shoe. I know now that my high heels are now called stilettos. See, I didn't know that before today. Man, I'm really growing in knowledge. Yesterday I was in the closet. Today I'm out of the closet. what was I doing in the closet and why am I out today? Is it the fresh air that I'm seeking because it is so hot and stuffy in that closet with it being so many of us packed in there? Talking about overcrowding, I'm sweating just thinking about it. I almost missed the new tattoo. Yesterday it was called branding, and today it is called art. Why was I so misled years ago that I did not recognize the art in the branding iron? I think that I understand it now, that years ago the branding iron was hot and you could only achieve one color. Someone was thinking of me in the future and now allows me to put different colors under my skin, which achieves the same effect. I can now have a permanent scar and no one heated a branding iron to do it. Should I ever need identifying, that permanent piece of art will make it so much easier. Now, why was I looking at myself in the first place? Oh, yes. I was trying to tell myself who I really am. With all of this going on in me, I don't really have a clue. Maybe I need to start over by first asking, who does God think I am? I just wanted to share that.
That's magnificent, Roy. Magnificent.
I wrote that because
bless your heart.
We need to teach our children to be who you are and stop trying to be something else.
Amen.
God made you perfect.
Amen.
He made you just the way he wanted. And
that's
we
right.
need to start making you feel, make our children feel that whatever God put in them is important.
Yes, because God don't
make junk.
Yes.
Everything that God put in them is important. And you're a magnificent creature. And don't believe that lie when somebody tells you that it's something wrong with you, because it's not.
Now, Lois, our question, and I know you share my heart, is how do we get more people who want to give that message to our kids? Should Christians start, you know, invading the schools? I mean, I feel like a voice crying in the wilderness. As a matter of fact, the dean of students said you remind me of John the Baptist, and that's exactly how I feel. I feel like cry to deaf ears, try and tell the teachers what these kids need. It doesn't seem to make any difference, even when I beg them not to suspend a child that'll be back. And I tell them that I wrote a poem about this story, how 19 years ago I reached out to a little boy who they just wanted out of the school, but he responded to me, and I begged them when I had to have foot surgery to keep them in that school for 1 week that I'd be back, because he was fine when I was with him, and they threw him out. And end of story, he wound up being shot. And I let the alternative school know this, because Felix's story is so much like Angela, it's frightening, because he hangs out where Angela was shot, and I cannot believe, even after being told that, giving him my poem, they threw him out when I was...
Well, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to start doing just what you and I are doing. We've connected. We're going to continue to connect with other people. We're going to, right now, I talked to some of the police station here where I live, and we need to work up a program, whereas when kids are doing little misdemeanor things, rather than slap them in jail, we need to have facilities where we can take them in and, do a rehab with them. Because, like you said, no child wakes up in the morning and I'm just pretty bad as hell today.
Yes.
It takes them a while to get there. And we've got to start intervening.
I didn't mean to interrupt. You get me so excited because it's so rare that I hear somebody saying things, you know, that re-echo my thoughts, so I don't mean to interrupt. I just get so excited.
You're
excited,
fine.
Lois. Because
fine.
I agree with that. I agree with that. But also, you know, to get to the churches, move upon their hearts, let them be convicted. So instead of, you know, taking their money and improving upon the beauty of their edifice, to start making a place where kids can come after school and be, so that they know that there's always somebody there who will care about them, and then ultimately have a place where they can stay overnight so they're not thrown back in the hood.
Yes.
Start grade school.
So I've always said, if you take me out of a mud puddle and dress me up, and the only place I have to go back to is the mud puddle, I'm going to get what you put on me that's going to be muddy as well.
Amen.
So these are things that we're going to have to sit down, and we can do it in each city. We can do one in this city, one where you live, and just go like that. You know, we need to build these programs and put them together. You and I are going to start this out, because I'm going to put together some things. I'm going to email them to you. You're going to add to it, and from there we're going to fix a base where we can have something to present.
Amen. Amen, Lois. And, you know, and I've warned, on December 14, 2012, was that horrible tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut. Well, that really hit home, because it was in Newtown, Connecticut, where I had a dream come true. I used to dream that one day I'd be playing the violin, this town scout would come and discover me. That happened in Newtown, Connecticut. I was playing Danny Boy and my violin, and the town scout was there, and he said he could get me jobs playing professionally, and he did. And so when that tragedy happened, I wrote a song to the tune of Danny Boy that I had a chance to present to my sister's church. And it is Christ's cry to our hurting kids that there's another answer to ending their pain other than ending their lives. Now, I've been in touch with these parents, and it took me all these years to finally let them know gun control is not the answer. They're raising hundreds and thousands of dollars for gun control. It was not the gun that killed their beloved children.
It was the sin of
an Adam Lanza could have been reached and stopped if somebody had cared enough to reach out to them.
Exactly.
So if they can get hundreds of thousands of dollars for gun control, if there's a group of people making their cry as public as Sandy Hook Promise is, then maybe we too, you know, can raise money to get these houses.
We can, and we are, because the Bible tells us, God says, I can do all things through Christ
Amen.
Who strengthens me. And he's going to make this possible. All he needs to say is, I'm ready. You know, God,
Amen.
We're ready to go.
Amen.
And I appreciate this. We've got like 2 minutes in our studio today. We have Courtney, but Courtney didn't say anything. But I'm going to ask you, Courtney, just say something briefly, because we have 2 minutes.
I really enjoyed it, and y'all right on the right track. Getting out there and help our kids so that we won't see them fail in our generation. That's going to be important.
All right. As Courtney, he said he wants us to, you know, help our kids so we won't have a generation that won't be able to do anything. And that is so, you know, that's what the generation want to just, the devil wants to shut down the generation to stop them from flourishing. But
that's
not going to happen.
That's right, man.
Much control. No, he doesn't. And I want to thank Shannon. She did my introduction when we first came on board. We've got about a minute and a half, and I'm going to say this for those of you that's listening. I think some of the callers didn't say anything. Let's Talk Truth 333@gmail.com, and that's Let's without the apostrophe. Let's Talk Truth 333@gmail.com. Can send me an email, and you can say, I don't think you knew what you were talking about, or you can say, well, I just really enjoyed you. Whatever you want to say, I promise you we'll address it, and I just thank you for calling in. For those that called in, for those of you that are sitting here in the studio and didn't say anything, I thank you for being here. And I want to say this, Kay, you are a love, you're just a love of my life here, and I thank you, and for those of you who don't know, she has her master's degree in psychology. She plays about five instruments, the mandolin, the French horn,
the piano, and I believe the trumpet. But so if anyone is interested in knowing how to play those things, and she has all this knowledge, she can give these kids something. And we need to be able to share. And this, we have 10 seconds left, and I'm going to say, this is Lois Bullock. This is Let's Talk Truth, and I have loved this, and I'm loving you with the heart of God, and we'll see you next week. Good night.
Good night.